agenda that we did not complete. And I'm looking for my calendar in the pile. Hang on, there it is. Okay, we had a couple of items pulled from consent. I don't know how or by whom they were pulled. First was 1303. I'll let Sue get caught up as well.
Item 1303, amend code to set procedure for returning evidence, found property, and safekeeping prisoner property.
Okay, I don't think we have a, we do have a presentation on this. Come on up, please.
Mayor, who pulled this?
I'm not sure.
Oh, and I'm sorry, my notes are, have gone.
Can we see if anyone here is present and pulled it, Mayor? Because we may not need
I don't need a presentation.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did someone here, did you pull this? Did you want to speak on this item? Okay, then go ahead and give us a brief presentation, and then we'll give you an opportunity to speak.
Mayor, Commissioners, my name is Jason Luce. I'm one of the deputy city attorneys. Started a few months ago, so I'm not sure if I've met all of you, but this was one of the first projects I was given. Frankly, I think it was something that had been sitting around for a while, and I thought it would be a good idea for me to get introduced to the police bureau and meet some people. What this is just cleaning up the ordinance or the section of code. In the early 2000s, I believe it was 2001 or 2002, the code was amended. At the time it was amended, the safekeeping of property and prisoner property were left out of the code. The Portland Police Bureau, through their evidence manager, Ty Routley, had a procedure in place for holding and returning this property, and they've been using that procedure this whole time. This is just codifying that procedure, okay. So it's not changing anything.
Could you just tell us what the procedure is, please?
So the procedure follows the same as any other property for the most part. So for safekeeping of property, that is typically happens when they get called, there's like a mental health issue and there's guns in the home, and the individual will ask that the police bureau take the guns until that crisis is resolved or just for safekeeping. So they'll hold on to those guns for 60 days, at which point if it's not returned or if they haven't come to get the property after the 60 days, they'll destroy the weapons. Prisoner property, similar. They have 60 days to come and get their property. This is something they've always done, and this doesn't change it. It just codifies it.
So this code governs property that's been held or seized by the police bureau, not by the Multnomah County Jail, right? I mean, they have their own procedure for when someone is booked, right?
Correct.
Okay. So this is just if our police officers are for some reason seizing a weapon or other property, this is what's governing that.
Correct.
And you've not really made any substantive changes in those. This is more cleanup.
This is just cleanup, correct.
The only changes are in seizure of weapons, where you've deleted a number
of bunch of material about weapons, but there's a simple statement now remaining about seizing and taking possession of deadly weapons and then maybe disposed of by the Bureau in a manner provided by law. So,
correct. The weapons ordinance had been somewhat dated. If you'll note, before these changes, it did have procedures for selling the firearms,
yeah,
which is something that the city no longer does.
That's good.
I suspect that what others might be interested in is the previous part of the regulations about what happens when other property is taken by the police and how people can get it back.
Right, that hasn't changed.
It's not changing. The language that's there is as it was.
Correct.
Okay. Other questions? Okay. Thanks, Mr. Luce. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Would you like to speak on this matter? Anyone else that would like to speak on this matter, come on up, please.
Um,
Yeah, you're, I was arrested.
Just give us your name, please.
I'm artist Laura Vanderlin. I was arrested on October 5th for, I don't know, no reason at all. Had me arrested for trespassing in a public meeting, and I was leaving, and I got arrested. And they, during that time, the police grabbed my phone, snatched it out of my hand, and didn't identify themselves and pulled me out. They kept my phone for 30 days, over 30 days. I didn't get it back until November 16th. On your ordinance, it says that that they will do their very best to get in touch with property owner. Nobody got in touch with me. I had to keep calling, 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 keep calling. You know, you take property. I was arrested another time for the same exact reason, the same way that I was arrested here at the public Portland building. And my phone was taken. My bag was taken. Let me show you the size of my bag. This bag right here is a backpack, and it's taken to another warehouse. It's not even kept with me. Portland does this thing where they let prisoners out, prisoners that have been arrested falsely and prisoners that have been arrested justly. They have this thing where they let you off on your own recognizance. They know immediately when they arrest you if they're going to release you on your own recognizance, almost practically immediately. But they send your stuff away because they say they don't have any room in their property room. Both times when I was leaving the jail, there is a man who sits in a cubicle that watches CNN. He sits back like this, watching CNN, and there's no bags in that property room.
And you're talking about the jail now, right?
Pardon me?
Is that the jail?
That's the jail.
That's not our property.
See, that's the problem right there. There's all this bureaucracy. How's somebody supposed to know how to get their stuff back? Yeah. My stuff gets sent to another place, right? I'm going to be released on my own recognizance. I was not released until after midnight. The only thing I got back was my phone the first time. And everything else was taken. My car keys, my money, everything was taken. And I'm released after midnight. No transportation available for me to get home. That's just so, I don't know, for a city that purports to care about their community and safety, it just does not seem a safe thing to do to people. And to take their bags and send it to a warehouse that is not easy to get to and that closes at 4 p.m., people go to work. I mean, there's a guy that sits in that room. You keep talking about not having any money. There's a guy who sits in that room for property there's no property there. There's no property. He gets paid, I think, over $30 an hour to watch CNN and really absolutely do nothing, because what I was told was they don't have enough room. And what I saw walking through there, were empty, empty shelves. One empty shelf after another, after another, after another. This is not just housekeeping. No, you're crossing off an entire page of words. That's not housekeeping. I'm a good housekeeper. I know how to housekeep. You know what you're doing is you're sweeping dirt under the rug. This needs to be looked at. The way you take property and what you do to prisoners is completely flawed and needs to be redone. What you're doing is not just housekeeping. You're not just cleaning up. You're not editing a word that's misspelled. You're taking off one entire page is completely crossed off.
Right.
Every sentence is crossed off.
Let me respond to you if I can.
Yes.
You've raised some legitimate points here. Actually, I do think this is housekeeping, because the part that's been crossed off is all the old language about weapons. It has nothing to do with the kind of property that you're talking about.
Yeah, it's property.
Let me respond. And I think the way we deal with weapons is appropriate. You've raised some legitimate issues. One, I think we've not made it clear to you or anyone else, and it sounds like we can do a better job of that, about what the county's procedure is at the jail versus what the police bureau's
procedure. That's a cop-out.
No, they're two separate governments.
It's a cop-out. Yeah, and you
I'm trying to give you an explanation.
I got arrested by the Portland police. I got arrested here.
All right, we know.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Your time's up. All right.
Excuse me, but it is.
Your time is up, Ms. Vanderlyn.
It says set procedure for returning evidence, found property, and safekeeping prisoner property.
I tried to give you
property.
Some information.
Prisoner
okay?
property. It doesn't say here guns. It says prisoner property. And you take bags, you take property, and you take it someplace else, and you leave people devastated without their things. And I have a way to call somebody to pick me up, but there are many people that don't. You took my phone for over 30 days for no reason, and I didn't get charged with a crime.
You'd let us respond. I think we can give you some help.
I appreciate you bringing this up. In fact, I'd like to get the attorney back up to ask some of your questions.
Okay.
And actually, you're right, because I've heard about the letting people out at midnight from others as well.
So I wanted to respond that you told me that you didn't block me. I do know that you don't block me, but you do block a lot of other people.
Thank you. So could you come back up and respond to this?
I'm concerned about the strike. I mean, instead of having this whole page of procedure, all we've got now is the weapon may be disposed of by the police bureau, the Bureau of Police, in a manner provided by law. So how is somebody supposed to know what that manner of provided by law is?
Mayor and Commissioner Fritz, in speaking with the evidence manager, Mr. Routley, his concern was that the procedure has changed over time, and there's been times where the council has wanted to, for example, sell shotguns and rifles, and then there's been other times where they've wanted to not sell them. So this just gives them, both of which are legal, they can dispose of them, they can destroy them, or they can sell them. So this gives them the option to do that without having to go and change the code. So otherwise, if the council wanted to go back and change their mind again, I guess, then we would have to go and do a whole code change. So this just, by saying that they can do it in a manner provided by law, it allows you to give them direction without having to go through a code change.
Well, with all due respect, that doesn't tell me what the laws are. And what's been deleted, now it just says if it's unlawfully or used unlawfully or used for an unlawful purpose, it may be disposed of. What's being deleted is if it's found that it wasn't possessed incorrectly and it shall be released to the property owner and how they go about doing that. So how is the person who believes that a gun or a weapon has been taken not for the right reason, how are they supposed to know how to get it back?
They would get it back the same as any other property. So there is a section of code in here for property, and this one that was special for weapons, it was for the most part redundant, as weapons are generally treated the same as any other property.
So let me make a suggestion here. We've heard this item. I don't think there's anyone else wants to speak on this item. It's not an emergency ordinance. Let me ask that the police bureau and the city attorney flesh this out with a memorandum to the council that explains what is meant by maybe disposed of in a manner provided by law. Yes. Whose law? State law? Our law? What does it say? Let's answer those questions. And then secondly, I would also like some clarification from the police bureau and the county to respond to the issues that Ms. Vanderlyn raised, which is what is the procedure for property surrendered at the county jail? I think the person you were talking to is the person there. I don't know. And then what's the procedure for the city? Where's that property stored? I think we could all use. I don't know all those details. I'd like to know them.
Mayor, can I add two things to that?
Sure.
I was talking about, because, yes, I agree we need that, because I've heard of others being released after midnight without their keys, without money, and I think that's really of concern.
It's gotta be addressed.
If you could find out what the process is there, please.
Yeah, and the police bureau, it's not all on you. We can ask the police bureau to flesh that out with a memorandum to us, and then we can decide if we want to act on this. Commissioner Christie, you had some other
The two other things that I'd like to, that are part of, I think, encompassed in what the mayor's requested, but just to drill down a little bit. If someone is arrested for a misdemeanor offense so that we're 99% certain they are going to be released. Are they treated differently? Why don't we treat the property in that case different than someone who is arrested pursuant to a serious felony where the likelihood is they are going to spend the night in jail? That's number one. I think that's a very valid point. And if you come back and say in 99% of the cases under this kind of arrest, the person is released, then I think it becomes even more compelling that they can't get access to their property right away, whether the gentleman's watching TV and has spaces or not. I mean, ultimately, it's for the county to figure out how to store it in a way other than the warehouse. And the second thing is the examples that have been selected of a phone, you know, phones are now actually pretty required. I was in New York recently, and the first thing I did is I got out of a cab and left my phone. And my life flashed in front of me because we are tethered to our phone. And a wallet, obviously, money and keys. But what about medicine? What if you're a diabetic and you have some medicine in your bag? Is there a protocol where even if your stuff is stored, even ASL? But so I'd like to also drill down a little bit on those things that are not kind of discretionary things that may be part of your personal property. I mean, I'm less concerned if someone's book or extra pair of shoes or something, but if it's an essential, and I think a wallet, a phone, and medicine might be essential, then I'm not clear on a misdemeanor why someone has to jump through that hoop, and I don't think it's satisfactory to say that you're released at midnight, but the hours don't match the availability of accessing your property. So while as the mayor said, we may not have direct control of this, let's get a memo that explains what the current situation is, because we certainly have some influence over how this might be done in the future.
So I'll make sure that happens. I'll direct the Police Bureau to produce that prior to next week's council meeting. We'll also make it public so people that are interested in the subject can see if we've gotten answers on that question or not.
Mayor, may I make a suggestion?
Sure.
We have a holiday tomorrow, and we don't have work on Friday. Can we set this over 2 weeks?
Sure. Let's make that 2 weeks instead of one.
I'd like to have a chance to read the memo.
Of course.
Next week is busy.
Good idea.
I very much appreciate you raising this issue.
Thanks for raising it.
The council clerk, let's set this over until December 7th.
Schedule second reading on December 7th, and I'll make sure we get the memo well before that. Thank you. Okay, let's move to the second item that was pulled, which is 1307.
1307. Accept a grant in the amount of $15,000 from Kaboom Play Everywhere Challenge for Sitton Elementary and George Middle School walking school bus stops.
Commissioner Novick's not here, and I'm not sure why this was pulled.
And Lightning pulled this one.
Oh, and I don't believe he's here. All right, then let's take a vote then on this on emergency item.
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Zossman.
Aye.
Hale.
Aye. Okay. regular agenda item 1309.
1309, authorize application and accept a grant in the amount of $100,000 and appropriate $67,000 for fiscal year 16-17 from Oregon Impact for overtime reimbursement for participation in DUII high visibility enforcement events during federal fiscal year 2016-17.
Okay, Sergeant Barnum was going to be here but is now not able to be. The purpose of this is to authorize us to apply for and receive these grant funds. Obviously, DUII enforcement is very important given the rate of traffic violence that we've had in the city, now doubling the rate of homicides otherwise, appalling statistics. So that's why this is before us, and that's why it's an emergency ordinance. Anyone want to speak on this item? If not, it's an emergency ordinance. Let's vote, please.
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Salzman?
Aye.
Hale?
Aye. 1310.
A claim of Tinka Stoica in the sum of $18,000 involving the Portland Police Bureau.
Mr. Bueller, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I'm John Bueller with the Risk Management Office. This is an ordinance to settle a lawsuit versus the City of Portland brought by Tinka Stoica. The lawsuit arises from an arrest that occurred on August 5, 2014. Most of the facts regarding this event were really not in dispute. Two Portland police detectives went to arrest Ms. Stoica on that date on a charge of hindering prosecution. According to the two detectives, they asked Ms. Stricka to come out onto the front porch, and she did so. They advised her she was under arrest. And when one of the detectives began to put Ms. Stricka's hands behind her back to apply the handcuffs, she tensed up and pulled away. The detectives told her not to resist, and she then placed her hands behind her back, and the detectives were not aware of any injury to Ms. Stricka during the arrest. According to Ms. Stricka, when she opened the front door to the detectives, one of the detectives grabbed her by the arm and then grabbed her right hand and twisted her right thumb, injuring it. And she claims that she did nothing to resist the detectives. Ms. Stricka, through Attorney Jenny Clark, eventually filed a lawsuit against the city and against the two detectives. She claimed injury to her thumb, including approximately $9,000 in medical expenses. The claim also included a civil rights claim that would have included attorney fees if she was successful in the lawsuit. Risk management and the city attorney's office attempted early settlement efforts in litigation and were successful in reaching an agreed settlement of $18,000, and both the risk management and the city attorney's office recommend that this ordinance be approved.
Okay. Thank you for that explanation. Any questions? Thanks very much. Anyone want to speak on this item? Okay, then let us take action, please. It's an emergency ordinance.
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Kaufman.
Aye.
Hales.
Aye. And 1311, second reading.
Authorize the Bureau of Transportation to allocate $500,000 to the Portland Parks Foundation for construction of footbridge over Burnside.
Roll call, please.
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Sussman.
Aye.
Hales.
Aye. 1312.
Amend provisions relating to possession of cannabis in parks to conform to state law.
Got the word right. Roll call, please.
Thank you. I've learned it's actually more complicated than I thought, but I appreciate you amending it in this case, and I'm told by Ben Walters it's fine that we're amending it in this case.
Okay.
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Salzman?
Aye.
Hales?
Aye. 1313.
Authorize a contract and provide payment for the construction of the Sandy River Engineered Log Jam Placement Project at an estimated cost of $2,300,000.
Roll call, please.
Aye.
Fish?
I wish Steve was here because he'd be making something of the fact we've gone from a footbridge over Burnside to marijuana and now a log jam. There must be some musical accompaniment to this. Aye.
Salzman.
Aye.
Hales?
We had an excellent presentation by your bureau on this and had some fun at their expense of government at great expense actually creating a log jam. We're supposed to be getting rid of them. Aye.
I sold a house recently with a lot of deferred maintenance, and I noted that living in that house for 20 years perfectly prepared me for public life.
Okay, 1314.
Authorize a contract with Seabury HMF, Inc. for the refinance of the Headwaters Apartments.
And I'd like this returned to my office, please.
Correct.
So ordered, without objection. We have nothing left in the afternoon, right?
Happy Thanksgiving.
Mayor, can we take just a second on Thanksgiving greetings? Starting
Let's do, please. Well, I just want to say I'm thankful for living in a city with colleagues like you who work hard right up until the holiday to do the public's business. And I've been putting an awful lot on this council calendar, so I want to say thank you to all of you. And I also, just seeing these young people in this chamber, I am thankful to live in a city where the next generation of activists, elected officials, and other good citizens are actually already showing up here. That's what's on my list.
Yeah, I also appreciate very much all the good things that we've done, and especially this time, I know it's very important to be counting one's blessings instead of dwelling so much on the challenges. And so it is good that we're able to gather together as the family of Portland and in our individual families, and I wish everybody a very happy Thanksgiving.
Okay. I'll just add that this is the very busy part of our season, made even busier with a very aggressive agenda the mayor has placed on the table. So I would also like to just acknowledge all the city workers who are working so hard to do their regular assignments, but also allow us to meet the demands of this council, which have been significant. And I wish everyone a healthy and happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. Thank you all, and to you as well. And we are adjourned until next week. And it's very...